It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Aka hell yeah. How you doing, Will?
Well... I had my Pez show this past weekend.
Okay.
So I want to thank the people who came out to see me read an essay about the one and only time I've been to a strip club. It went very well. And if you missed it, the essay is now online. We have a link to it on our Facebook page.
It's immortalized forever.
The internet's forever. When I run for public office, they're going to hold it against me, this story.
This would be the least of your problems when you run for public office.
Yeah, I know.
How about the 63 preceding episodes of the podcast where you proceed to call women all sorts of affectionate diminutives?
I think you're confusing me with you. But...
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I plead the fifth.
But I'm going to try to do this more, but submitting to these essay shows is a bitch. It is a pain in the ass because, you know, they want to impose these rules on my greatness. And
it's easier to get published by the New Yorker than to get into one of these essay shows.
So I'm going to start submitting and pressing the flesh and meeting people and try to do more shows. So there'll be more fans.
Speaking of more fans.
Yes.
We have 203 likes, so close to 204.
Which is our goal.
Well... You know, until life is just a series of goals until you die. But you know what? We're not at 204. I'm getting tired of ranking you all, so I'm moving the goalposts. Road to 209.
We want 209 Facebook likes.
So
before the day is through.
Get on it, people.
Who is our sponsor this week?
Well, this week's episode, Will, is brought to you by the NBA, where fabulous happens.
It is the most fabulous of all the sports leagues.
It is true. Not as fabulous as curling, but getting there.
Yes. You ever see those? You ever see that female Canadian curling team?
Listen, any sport where a six-month pregnant woman can not only compete but earn a medal in the Olympics cannot be that physically demanding. I'm just saying.
On the show today. The summer movie season begins. Iron Man 3 opens up. We're going to think a little bit outside the box on what we like as human beings. And a very hairy enemy of the podcast.
Is the enemy hairy?
Well, no, but it sounded better than anything else I could have said. But first, as you know from last week, I told you we were going to have the very funny and fetching Sharon Houston on. Well, that didn't happen. she had to cancel and...
She had to make real money.
She had to go make real money, but she has vowed that she will be on in about a month. We're going to have her back. It's going to be great. But we have a real treat for you today because it's a returning champion... He was on a little over a year ago, and he's back to talk to us about some new things he's been doing, Sam Zia.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me. It's great to be the returning champion.
Returning champion.
Do you guys give me a belt or something?
We are going to...
You get a cup of water. How's that?
Yes! When this podcast really makes it big time, you're going to be like a trivia question. You're going to be like a question on Jeopardy. Who was the first returning champion?
Yeah, I probably won't get it right either.
Well, what are we going to do for our five-timers club?
Oh, that's right. We'll have to do something for that.
I think we're being very aspirational here. But welcome back, and as you all recall, because I know you're all good listeners, last time Sam was on, it was our sports episode. Well, now we got something new to bring you.
Yeah, Sam, you now... You were doing sports radio, and now you've made the transition to sex radio?
Yes.
You're on Erotic City Radio.
That's right. I'm on Erotic City Radio. It's on Sirius XM Wednesday nights from 9 to 11 p.m., and it's me and Miss Sapphire, and yeah, it's pretty damn wild.
Okay, who's Miss Sapphire? I'm intrigued.
She's just a radio person. She's a very good, very skilled radio person.
Not a
she's,
dude, is it?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
No, she's not in the sex industry, not in the porn industry or strip or anything. She's very beautiful, very seductive, and she knows how to work it on that show, man. She's good.
So you're telling me Miss Sapphire, then, is her Christian name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I gotta ask, how did this transition come about? Because, look, I love sports radio, but I got to imagine the one thing I might like listening to more than sports is sex.
Yeah, the one thing that I like talking about more than sports is sex. So this was like a natural fit for me. No, the thing that got me into it was when I got my master's in psychology, I just, I kept a lot of my radio contacts, and one of my old radio buddies who's working over at Playboy Radio at the time hit me up, said, hey, I need your help on something. And I didn't know exactly what the help was going to be, but yeah, as soon as I got in there, he said, I want you to be the doctor, you need to be the smart guy, which I'm not used to. I'm used to being the buffoon on radio, but this one I actually get to, flex a little bit. I get to flex a little brain muscle on this one.
This is how Dr. Drew got his start. He was a medical resident at UCLA and saw a posting on a billboard seeking a doctor for a radio show, and he applied, and he did Loveline for 10 years without getting paid.
Really?
That's how he got started. They just had him. K-Rock had this idea for a late-night sex talk show. They needed someone with medical credentials. He wasn't even, because he was a resident, he couldn't practice medicine independently yet, but he was an MD, and because of doing his time on Loveline, that's how he got interested in addiction and all of those attendant disorders around it, and really focused his then medical career around that. So
that's fascinating. I never knew this.
But back to our guest at hand, since Dr. Drew is not here.
Well, when you're doing Dr. Drew level stuff, you're going to have us on.
Oh yeah. No, well, I don't think I'm on the same trajectory as him at all. At this point, I'm kind of on the weird sex trajectory where I get to actually say fuck on the radio and I get to actually curse and stuff. But the topic and the content on there is way different than what you would hear on Loveline, like Dr. Drew and all the stuff that he would pull off. It's much less clinical and much more aimed at pleasing people.
Now, when you say pleasing people,
yes,
I mean, because this is Playboy Radio, Erotic City Radio, is this, and I don't know whether this is a stupid question, but is this something I can masturbate to?
Actually, a lot of the guys who call in are masturbating. It's Radio Sex 103 on Sirius XM, and guys call in constantly. And, like, they'll be, for example, we were playing a Truth or Dare kind of game, we were playing a game called Dare Dare. We had a porn star on the show named Kiki Dare, who's a good friend of ours.
Okay.
And, somebody called in and dared her to scissor with my girlfriend. She was in the studio with us at the time.
So really?
We have, some great audio highlights of that moment, and yeah, you could hear the guys on the on the phone, like, going, oh yeah. They're really getting into it, man. And Sapphire, she does a hell of a job of playing up to it, man. She really knows how to milk it for what it's worth.
So what exactly do they... why exactly do they need a psychologist present?
To be able to say decisively that everybody calling in is not crazy. No, they just need to give it some more medical credibility, more intelligent factor.
Well, for all the scissoring, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But every once in a while we get a guy who calls in and actually needs some legitimate advice. And
so you're kind of serving two purposes. You're both, like you said, to titillate, but also inform.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Also maybe break some taboos.
Well, that's what we're doing here every week.
We're informing and
titillating.
And breaking taboos.
Yeah. Well, we have a segment on the show where towards the end we test drive various toys or sex devices. If you guys want to pick up on that, I'm sure you could get a lot more listeners.
That's true.
We're going to be sitting here with fleshlights in our lap.
Yeah. New segment on the show each week. Me or Sean tests out
beads or balls. Yeah.
We have each week on the Facebook page. You could suggest a toy that we.
Yeah. We've had some incredible stuff happen in the studio. We do have certain rules in the studio.
Well, what? Yeah. What is
no murder?
No videotape. No photography. There's specific reasons for this. The entire industry shut down because of an incident that happened within that studio. I don't want to get fully into it because it's. Just look for the most recent time that the porn industry had to be shut down. And you'll be able to pinpoint it back to the studio that I'm out of. Let's just put it this way. That studio has been sanitized.
Question. Okay. So how does Howard Stern get away with having women sit on Sibians and recording and broadcast all that?
Because that's his show, that's his channel, that's his own thing. That's his contract. He can get away with anything he wants.
He can murder.
Yeah, he's more or less the king of all media. If anybody's going to bring the porn industry to a screeching halt, it might as well be him. He can get away with it.
I don't know. It's not 1998 anymore.
Yeah, he still could.
Well,
he still could.
You do, Ivo. You are under the banner of Playboy Radio. And that Playboy cachet.
We actually are broadcasting out of the Playboy studios. The contract with Playboy ran up, so we're on Radio Sex 103 right now. It's a big mess, but yeah, we're out of the Playboy studios, so I get to have the Playboy bunnies all around me and all that fun stuff. But
it is Radio Sex.
Yeah, Radio Sex 103.
Okay. Well, sorry about that confusion.
That's okay. It's a very, up until about like 3 weeks ago, that's what it was. So
there you go.
It's a recent change.
Got it.
Well, so I can masturbate to it.
All day.
And it's advice.
But you can't see it, so you gotta use your imagination, so that's lame.
It's so funny because we're getting to porn is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
That I think it's almost better. I would rather listen to this to masturbate than watch something, because at least I could keep my brain going a little bit. The biggest erogenous zone of all.
I thought that was the skin.
Maybe on you.
Maybe. So where did you get your, if you're the sex doctor on the show, where did you get your sex doctorate?
Well, right now I got my master's in psychology over at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. By the end of July, I'm going to be a certified sex therapist. There's certain things that you got to go through. It's like a 40-hour course and all that.
You got to really earn the rapist.
Yes, the rapist, yes. Certified the rapist.
Well, certify sex the rapist.
That's a little redundant.
This sounds like
masturbating to the radio.
This
good point.
I mean, this sounds like a lot of fun.
If your internet is broken, but the satellite radio is still up and running.
But you know what? The other thing is, this is also dangerous because you get people driving their cars with massive erections.
What do you think they're using to steer the car?
Aspirational.
That's the best part is that, you know, 90% of our listening base are truck drivers going through like Texas or Arkansas throughout the Midwest and the South, and we have a running rule. Anytime a truck driver calls in, they have to honk their horn. And, you know, if we have, a guest in the show who's a sex supervillain, Leia Down, she was on the show, and anytime a person honked the horn, we all had to line up and grab her tits.
Hey, now.
Sounds like my job.
Let me tell you what, sex supervillain sounds right up my alley because I love women who would be villainous and awful to me.
Yes, and she will definitely put you in your place. wearing various supervillain outfits, too.
So you get a lot of, are all the guests basically people from the porn industry or things like that, or do you have like...
Pretty much. We had the rapper actress Eve on the show with us.
Really?
Which was really cool, actually. She was really sweet. We had her on for about a half hour, really had a good time with her. But yeah, no, this is mostly porn stars, maybe people who are representing different stores who make sex toys, things like that.
Do you, like, interview them as well? So even if you're not, like, because if you're out there listening and you're like, oh, that's making all these jokes about listening to radio and jerking off, there's more to this than that. You can just enjoy listening to some interesting people.
Yeah. I hear Carol Burnett's doing the publicity rounds now with a new book, so you may want to book her.
Oh, that would
about her dead kid or something.
That
would
be hilarious if we could get her on the show. Can you imagine how much crazy shit we would get out of her?
Actually, Carol Burnett may be down.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's.
You know who would be down? Fucking Cloris Leachman would probably
be down. Oh, God, yeah. I love Cloris Leachman.
Man. Oh, my God.
She would be fucking amazing.
I want Cloris Leachman on Erotic City Radio.
And doing something to the point where they need to shut down the studio and bring in the people that have to come in after, like, a murder.
Yeah.
Or with Aftermath, one of those companies.
Hazmat suits. But,
yeah, biohazard disposal companies.
Well, you know, last time you were on the show, though, you were sports radio, and I wanted to, you know, since we have you here, and you know, not we have like one listener who enjoys sports talk, so for their benefit,
hey Andrew,
we wanted to maybe you know, get some, ask you some sports related stuff since it's your roots.
It's, you know, what I know second best, I guess now.
I like that sex now. Now you can say I know sex best.
Well, that's, yeah, absolutely.
It's debatable. We need some second opinion on that.
Would your girlfriend attest to this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Without question. She knows that I pull my weight.
This is a confident man. I know you're a big NBA fan.
Huge.
Lakers! Fan.
That's right.
Sorry about your Lakers.
Hey, they had, what, over $50 million sitting on the injured list?
Was that why? Would they have gone farther if all that $50 million had been playing?
I think they would have been able to get past San Antonio. The way the Lakers actually, in the first two games, played, they could have actually swayed that entire series over had they been healthy. The problem is, it's hard to find teams that go throughout a season fully healthy.
It just all happened at the worst time for them.
It's just, I've never seen a team have this many injuries this consistently
throughout
the season.
But that was like the last of a long string of problems the Lakers have been dealing
with. It was a rough season.
Oh, yeah. No, the biggest problem of all has been the coaching. Well, and you can trace the coaching back to the management if you want to do that. But
Jim Buss.
You know, the injuries, if anything else, gave them a convenient excuse and made it so that D'Antoni actually may have saved his job as a result.
Fucking A. So who do you think is coming out of the West then?
That's interesting. Oklahoma City was my choice at the beginning, they lost Russell Westbrook, and he was the one that took most of the pressure off of Durant. Now they're going to need to have players like Ibaka and you know, all the other role players step
up. James Harden had stayed on the team.
Well, that would have been a big difference maker, but financially, they wouldn't be able to keep him. He would have left after this season.
Right, but that would have given him one more season to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Now that Oklahoma City may be in question, San Antonio looked solid. If the Clippers can escape Memphis, they're a dark horse to get through.
Do I need to see the Clippers in the fucking finals?
I'd rather not either, but they're definitely they've got the firepower. They fall short in the coaching area too.
When I always say, like, this is a Laker town. But if the Clippers got in, let's say the Clippers made it to the finals, would people come out of the woodworks? Would they be more embraced, do you think, or will it just still, even if they're in the finals, it'll still just be Laker fans being like, how do you think the city would take to the Clippers?
I think for casual fans, casual sports fans or casual basketball fans, they'll definitely latch on to them because they're, you know, when they're rolling, they're really fun to watch. But it's one of those things that the real basketball fans, they're just going to go to Staples Center. They're going to look up at the walls and see 16 championship banners for the Lakers and laughing at the Clippers if they put up a Pacific Division banner or if they get to the finals, a Western Conference championship banner. Yeah, right now, Western Conference is definitely not even in play right now in the NBA. Miami is light years ahead of team right now.
You want to hear right now my prediction for the finals?
Go for it.
Golden State Warriors? Atlanta Hawks.
Oh.
It's going to be the dream matchup of the century. Ratings bonanza.
I would watch that. Golden State's really damn exciting. They really put together
I don't think that sentence has ever been uttered in the history of the NBA.
Not since 1992, the World Run TMC with Mitch Richmond and Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway.
Now let me, one more thing before we move on. Sorry, listeners. You know, I got to admit, I don't follow the sport as much as I used to, but in the 90s, and when I was younger, in middle school, high school, I was a really big Knicks fan.
Yeah.
So, even though I'm not going to pretend I still follow them as much, I like to see them do well. I mean, how are they going to be in the play? How do you think they got a shot?
They have a shot to get to the Eastern Conference Championship, but there's a brick wall waiting for them, and that's Miami Heat. I've never seen a team dominate a basketball game in the way that they do. I think there's been more dominant teams,
right?
But there's never been a team that controlled the game the way that they do. They're really, really fun to watch.
Now, one other thing before we move on to the planned topic, since we have a sports guy here, and although this interests me very much. Biggest story probably this week, Jason Collins, center for the Wizards. He's not a starter,
he's
right?
A backup.
No, he's a backup.
He's a lifelong backup. He's never been a star at all.
No, but he started in the finals. He started when he played in Atlanta.
Atlanta, maybe in New Jersey. He was
New Jersey when he was with Jason Kidd.
Yeah, he was a I think he was a backup behind McCullough, if I think that was his name.
Well, anyway,
he's never been a major impact player.
Jason Collins plays for the Washington Wizards. He's the first man to come out while playing in a team sport here in America, at least. He's the very first. And I think this is a big deal. I know some people have been like, "Oh, is it really that big?" It's a big deal, I think.
Right now, it is for sure. It's one of those things I think a lot of people are waiting for to not be a big deal anymore.
Well, he outed the fact that Washington D.C. has an NBA team.
Yeah,
who knew?
Nobody knew that for sure.
I loved on Twitter. Now Jason Collins is my second favorite gay wizard behind Dumbledore.
I think a lot of, because I've saw like a lot of sports talk guys will obviously talk about, but a lot also weren't, and I think a lot of them do want to downplay because I think they necessarily don't know how to report this story because homosexuality is still, we're cool with it, but
it's still taboo in the locker room. That's for sure. It's one of those things that. Basketball is probably going to be the one sport that was going to lead the way in that because you got. First off, only 12 guys total that suit up, so it's less guys. Even though it may seem more intimate, it's like one of those things. If you look at a football locker room, you're going to have like 45 guys that are dressed up and have to go, and it's a much bigger environment, and it's much more forbidding to go and say anything about it.
Yeah, and that intimacy actually probably because you get to maybe know those guys more and feel more comfortable with.
But they were saying that with this player, he's been in the NBA for 14 years, and people have played with him. They know him. He shared the locker room. He has great relationships across the league. He's a real team player. No one's ever had a bad word to say about him. And so he's going to be like, listen, I've been playing with you guys for 14 years. Did I ever do anything? Was it ever weird? You all know me. You know, am I any different? Yeah. As opposed to, he even said a few years ago he wouldn't have the courage to have done this.
Absolutely.
He kind of needed to be at this place in his life, in his career.
And you know what? We talk about he's kind of a journeyman and everything, but maybe if he didn't have this monkey on his back, you never know how that affects you psychologically playing. You could
Absolutely.
Have been. And it's good that he has that off him. I'd be very curious to see how he does next season.
I think he's going to definitely be carrying a lot of publicity around with him, but it's something that I couldn't be more happy about the situation. I think that.
The situation's gay?
Yes. Okay. Yes, him too. But no, it's one of those things that he's really. Somebody had to take the forefront. And I know that there's going to be other athletes that ultimately do follow suit. There's been a lot of people, and if you notice, the negative reactions have been far less and far less vocal than the public
positive
reaction.
Anyone that goes out and there's a one guy from ESPN that
Chris
said some
Broussard,
dumb shit, and he got beat down. You know who the next big athlete to come out is? Big Hall of Famer? A-Rod. Explain it all. Clicked into place.
Explain a lot of stuff. But the you know what? It's funny because I do think it'll be the... I think you are going to start to see more and more people. And I like that we've gotten to the point in society where him being gay isn't the weird thing. It's weird if you're the guy who has a problem with
it. Yes, absolutely. It opens up a very big question, a much broader question that I think needs to be recognized. His twin brother, Jaren, also plays in the NBA.
Yeah.
They both grew up out here. They went to Harvard-Westlake.
Yeah.
Class of 97. They're actually my age. So it's one of those things that they...
You could have been a gay NBA journeyman backup center.
I very easily could have been. But it opens up one of those questions about just how much of an effect genetics versus environment has on homosexuality.
Are they identical twins?
They are identical twins.
Identical.
Thanks,
so,
Jerry.
Right there, you have an argument for the, nature versus nurture. That's the nature argument right there.
Now... Do you think it matters? Because I always thought if the first gay player had to be like Jackie Robinson, when he came into baseball and broke the color barrier, he was a fucking great player.
Yeah.
Jason Collins is no Jackie Robinson in terms of athletics or how he's viewed in his league. Do you think we need a someone, I mean, A-Rod's got other problems, but I mean, like if someone like a...
Like Rondo were to come out, let's say, someone like that. Like a Hall of Fame, like a future All-Star.
All-Star, Hall of Famer kind of player. I think it would, it depends on the timing of it. If they come out early, like here's an example actually that just happened 2 weeks ago. Brittany Griner, the girl that just was playing for Baylor. She was, I think, what, 6'8" girl that was playing for Baylor?
Oh, I know.
She's the one girl that dunked in almost every game that she played.
Okay.
She came out, like, 2 weeks ago, right before she got drafted. So now she's kind of, it seems like there's more of a momentum for this.
There was another very funny tweet I saw yesterday, I'm sorry. WNBA preparing 234 press releases.
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah. No kidding.
I think
that's one of the things. If she did it earlier in her career. So it's one of those things that she gets to carry that as kind of an aura. And the WNBA already had the aura of lesbianism around it. So
what?
It's one of those things that, who knew? Cheryl Swoops was the first one that came out. But it was one of those things that in the NBA, it depends on the timing. If they do it right when they come out of college or right when they're drafted, then you're going to be able to see the ups and downs and then the lifestyle and everything like that. Jason Collins is doing it at the end of his career. He may have 1 or 2 years of effective basketball left in him. It seems like it's almost a curtain call.
Well, that's the opposite side of the argument. So Jackie Robinson, you would say, was a great player who, you know, then entered the major leagues. This is the opposite, where he is a respected, well-known, unbesmirchable player that is now kind of carrying the flag and being the standard-bearing and saying, listen, I'm the first to do it. There will be others. And once you kind of break down that wall, I wouldn't be shocked if during the offseason, 2 or 3 others, you know, they may not be great players, but 2 or 3 others, like, yeah, me too. You know, now that someone has done that.
I think what this whole thing is going to show is that sports, and I've been guilty of this too, sports are more progressive than we maybe give them credit for.
Well,
but I think the fans and the – and, I mean, I've always been like, oh, it's going to be tough on the first guy. And look, the nation has changed in very positive ways towards gay people. And I feel like this whole episode so far shows that it's a lot more progressive than we think.
This episode of the Wilshawn podcast?
Yes. Oh. Wilshawn podcast is the most progressive of any bit of media or entertainment.
Just so long as you're a white Anglo-Saxon male between the ages of 18 and 34.
Well, look, so good. We talk some sports, we talk some sex. Where can they hear you again on sex on the sex radio?
It's on Sirius XM 103, Radio Sex, Erotic City Radio, Wednesday nights from 9 to 11.
Give this a listen. You're going to thank us for us. If you're a good listener of the podcast,
You've already masturbated
to the soothing sounds of Miss Sapphire and Sam.
Oh, yeah. And no, I call myself the cold shower on the show. Because, seriously, you got guys with headphones because they're driving the truck. They got their dick in one hand and the steering wheel in the other hand, and they're really going at it and everything. And then you hear my voice come in going, oh, yeah.
This sounds fantastic.
I know what I'm going to be fantasizing about tonight. I'm going to be playing that clip back, oh, yeah, all night. Well, Leo, let's break down some other pop culture topics this week.
Excellent.
You want to help us with this?
No. Sam out.
Yeah, drops the headset, walks out.
Figure out what that beeping is on your own.
Iron Man 3 opens up this weekend. And I'm really excited. I know you guys were saying you really liked 2, both. I wasn't thrilled with 2. I think it's good. But I think this one's going to be really good.
I hope so. It's one that I've done my best. This is one of the very few movies that I've actually done a really good job of avoiding all the hype. I've been avoiding the trailers because I went into 2 with really big expectations. Did they meet the expectations? Not really, but at the same time, it wasn't a bad movie. I had fun.
It's not a bad movie. I just think it's a middling movie as opposed to a lot of these other Marvel films. Because Marvel
is no Green Lantern. Or any of that other shit.
Yeah, it's better than all of those.
But
I just don't think it's as good as the other Marvel films, Iron Man 2. But I think Iron Man 3, I'm hearing... I read a review the other day that says... And I know you said you're avoiding hype, but I read a review that said... It's second only to the Avengers in terms of Marvel films.
I'm excited. Listen, I could sit and watch Robert Downey Jr. play that character reading a menu. You know, so it's hard to really fuck it up too much. That being said, we still have the evidence of Iron Man 2. I just think it looks fun. Everything I've seen just looks very promising.
Well, now here's the thing. Robert Downey Jr. can't play this character forever.
He's like pushing 50.
And they're going to want to make these movies for a while. And they're going to do another Avengers.
Got Iron Boy.
Iron Boy?
Yeah.
He has to bring up an Iron Boy?
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, God.
The Iron Boy. Actually, I think Iron Boy is going to be on sex radio this week, no?
That's one of the sex toys, actually. That they
it's called
have,
the Iron
really.
Boy?
It's, yes, it's a little, like, vibrator slash chainsaw.
Jesus. Well.
Also a sex toy.
Yes.
Let me, can the series survive if they recast Iron Man? Can anyone else play Iron Man and you buy? Like, I mean, we went through a lot of Batmans in the 90s, and that took quite a toll on the franchise. Can can we replay? Because Iron Man is so Robert Downey Jr. It's such his charm that he brings it to the Tony Stark character.
They would have to end this version of Iron Man. They would literally
and
have
reboot
to,
it.
They would have to kill him off. And then start it over again with someone else. That's the only way I could see it happening.
Can we have a girl be an iron person?
The Iron Lady.
The Iron
Meryl
Lady
Streep.
No, with Meryl Streep. There we go.
Yeah, we had that already. It did
we
not
made
work.
That joke last year. It wasn't funny last year. We're doing it again. I don't know. I think that Robert Downey Jr. is so iconic to this character in a way that, I mean, not since Christopher Reeves with Superman. I wouldn't...
I think a lot of it is that
Tobey Maguire with Spider-Man?
No, Tony God. Stark is such a more fun character than Bruce Wayne or Clark Kent, for that matter, if you know, things or for the, what are they called? Alter egos.
Right.
You know, he's Tony Stark, he's fun. He likes being a superhero. And he likes to, he's an alcoholic and, you know.
And a sex fiend, so yeah. Who's not, what's not to like there?
And Tony Stark is not so much an alter ego.
Yeah,
that's really him.
I mean,
the other alter egos are doing stuff to kind of take attention away from the fact that they're
except for Thor.
Really talented, except for Thor.
Thor is, his name is, Thor.
So,
we'll see, we'll see how they end this movie. We'll see how they tie it in with the upcoming next wave of
Phase 2. They're calling it Marvel Phase 2, which is all these movies. We'll see if it can top Phase 1, which was pretty damn good. Eventually, every bubble bursts in every franchise, though.
Yeah.
So, you know
eventually, you get your Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Oh. And eventually, you too, Iron Man, will suck. But for now, we're excited for you. There was a really interesting poll the other day that Harris did. And they asked Republicans who their favorite TV personality is.
Yahoo Sirius.
Close.
No, not Yahoo Sirius.
Take a guess. Take a more legit guess.
TV... Glenn Beck, is he still on TV?
You would think somebody like that or Bill O'Reilly. Ellen DeGeneres. Now, this surprised me.
That is kind of shocking.
Well, she does dance.
She dances. Republicans like dancing.
They do love dancing.
They know she's gay, right?
Yes. what's his face? Howard Stern said lesbians equal ratings,
and Ellen has been getting great ratings.
Yeah, but when you think lesbian, you think it's something different than Ellen. You're thinking more Portia de Rossi.
No, that's something that I try to think of. A lot of times, you have to look at some of the lesbians that you walk by in life. They're not all looking that good. Some of them are a little
rougher.
And rough around the edges, yes, thank you.
And I'll be honest with you, this really surprised me. And it got me thinking about things that are like outside your demographic that you like. Because I guess it shouldn't surprise me that Republicans respond to her talk show. She puts on a good daytime talk show, you know.
She's the white gay Oprah.
Yeah, she's the white gay Oprah. And Republicans liked Oprah too, and she was black. So,
possibly gay.
And possibly gay. Oh, we gotta have Stedman on, and we gotta talk to him about that.
He may have been possibly gay too.
But so it got me thinking of things that we like outside the box. I know me and Sean always find ourselves at like, we'll be at a movie, say like a movie with kind of an older feel, like a Gosford Park or something like The Queen, and we'll realize, we'll look around and we're like, we are the youngest person by four decades.
What do you mean? We're usually, the youngest person by two major American wars, you know?
Yeah, for some of these movies. Yeah. You know, so it's crazy. Do you have anything like that where it's like it falls so far out of like your demographic that you love?
I had to think about it for a sec, but yeah, no, I'm a... Here's a deep, dark secret. I am a huge fan of surf movies.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Endless Summer. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay. It's like a baby boomer thing.
Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan of old surf movies. At, like, pre-Gidget stuff.
Oh, pre-Gidget, yeah. Fuck it, they just came and ruined it all.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow. Now, what do you think that's usually the crowd? What's usually the crowd that goes for that?
Surfers.
Say?
People who've actually been on a surfboard.
Burned out drug addicts.
I'm halfway there.
We just got to get you a board, man.
Yeah.
Have you been inspired by it? Have you been like, maybe I should go out there?
Man, my entire life I always said, you know what? One of these days I'm going to sack up and go. And then I blew out my knee and now I'm like, I'm never touching anything.
Oh, yeah, that's the last
thing. I saw that movie. What was the one with the chicks surfing came out 10 years
Blue
ago?
Blue Crush.
And when I watch that movie, there's one scene where she wipes out and hits her head on the rocks. Like, fuck this sport. No, thank you. I'm out.
Oh, dude, you have no idea how many people, like, drown because of it, because if they're especially in big wave surfing, man. They have three-man teams in big wave surfing to make sure that people, when they bail, they don't die.
Jesus.
Hey, you know what old-timey thing doesn't kill people?
What?
Opera.
And that, I guess, would be yours. Any listener of the podcast probably already knows that's your thing.
I'm a big opera fan, and yeah, whenever I go to an opera event, I am legitimately the youngest person there by 50 years. Some of my two of my closest friends I met at an Opera League event, and they were there because they were students, and they were doing some singing, and they were trying to push some tickets for one of their performances, and I immediately latched on to them because I'm like, oh, you're my age-ish, and started chatting with them, and then invited them to come to Sardo's to do sing karaoke, which if you've never heard an opera singer sing karaoke, you're missing out, but they are some of my closest friends now.
Ah, that's great.
So there you go. But, you know, part of my mission in life is to bring opera to the masses.
What song did she sing?
They sang...
I Touch Myself?
No, it was something... I don't remember what she sang, but it was very well sung and clearly sung by someone who understands technique and knows how to control her voice and her breath.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's always a good thing to look for in a girl. Somebody who knows how to control their breath.
Yes, someone who... can breathe out of her ears.
This one's a little rough. I have watched every single episode of the hit Fox television series Glee. Yes, I have. I am a straight 33-year-old man. This is so far out of my demographic. And Sam is looking at me with such disgust, and I'm going to explain
it's
how
not
this
disgust,
happened.
It's like the look that you give somebody who just, like, who literally just ate a bowl of shit.
I'm going to tell you why, because here's the thing, and Sean will attest to this. The pilot is a really good pilot.
Yeah, 5.5 years ago.
Yeah, no, more like 3.5 years ago.
All I know is that some of those kids are working on their PhD.
Well, here's the problem. I actually think when this show started that it was light and it was fun. It was campy in a way that also dealt with serious teen issues. And, you know, I liked it and it was funny. Now, here's the problem. As you know, I am a completist. So I just stick with things till I die.
Like herpes.
So now... We're in season 4. There's all these new fucking kids that I could give a shit about.
Yeah, they're all gay and brown. It's very confusing.
Oh, it's all so confusing. And honestly, it's gotten all so awful. But I'm like, well, let me see where this goes. Like, the first 2 seasons, I said, this is actually good storytelling. I defended it. The last 2 years, I've kept my mouth shut that my DVR still records it every week. And then I'm, like, eating cereal the next morning watching it.
To be fair, I did watch the entire first season of Glee because I liked the pilot and I liked the first 13 episodes. I bailed in the middle of second season because I realized the show had just, like, lost its way.
Oh, you thought it lost its way. Those were the golden days, my friend. And there's some attractive, good
40-year-olds on that show.
Yeah, Lea Michele, she's good-looking.
Yeah, for a MILF.
She's not a MILF.
Even Jane Lynch, by the way, who is, like, the face of that show, hasn't she bailed?
I thought she had, but then she was back.
All that's left on that show is, like, Little Precious and Alien Face.
Pretty much. They're gone, too.
Oh, there's
they're
no
all
one
gone. Everybody's gone. The point is, I should stop watching it. I don't know why I watch it. I don't take much joy in it.
But it's your cry time.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you know, let's see what Mr. Shu has in store for the kids this week. I'm slightly shameful of this. Look, we've gone over a year of this podcast. This has never come up.
Why isn't this a weekly topic of discussion?
I don't know. Will's Glee recap. His Glee
maybe,
cap.
Well, maybe from now on Glee I'll do cap, a Glee cap.
Remember on the Kevin and Bean show when they used to force Omar to do the Glee caps to the point where he just was having mental breakdowns because he couldn't take it anymore, so they killed the segment?
It's, look, I'm not going to say it's good. I'm going to say it was good, but it's way out of my demographic. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. that happened.
To more manly things. Sam.
Yes?
Do you have a lot of body hair?
Yes.
I would say that I do too, and Sean doesn't have to say
I have a light, tawny pelt.
Yeah, well, emphasis on pelt. So, there's this new product Gillette has. The Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Styler.
Not a sex toy.
Although it sounds like it should be. All these razor companies, they're coming out with all these things for your body hair. And I'll tell you what, I can't handle this.
What, you need a weed whacker?
No. I don't have that much. I have hair, but I mean, it's not... Now, what do they want us to do? They want us to shave our whole bodies?
Who is they?
The Gillette people, society. Gillette is telling society now that this body hair, that back in the 70s, Burt Reynolds and the ladies were loving it. The Gillette's telling us, well, now, for their bottom line, they need us to all go out and buy these razors to shave our whole bodies.
And you know what that means? The more you shave, the more you wear down the razors, the more you got to buy fucking razors.
Because we got a lot of hair. That's a lot of shaving.
That's like when Axe decided that men don't just need to spray under their arms, they need to spray their body too. It means they're using more deodorant. You got to buy it more frequently.
Well, you want to know what, Gillette? I'm not having any of this. It's enough that I got to shave my face just about every day. Now I got to shave my whole chest because that hair is just going to grow back. And then there's this vicious cycle where I'm shaving the whole... And where does it stop? Then I got to shave my arms, my legs. I mean... Oh, it's itchy, and it comes back stubbly, and it starts to drive me fucking crazy. So that's it. I'm not shaving my chest. I don't care what you, Gillette, and the rest of society says, and that is why the Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Styler is the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you, Gillette. Go fuck yourselves. And you're trying to guilt me into this because you got this commercial with three gorgeous women. You have Hannah Simone, Kate Upton, and Genesis Rodriguez. And they're all talking about, oh, like we want a man with like hardly Genesis Rodriguez, like she doesn't want any hair because she wants to fuck a baby, I guess. So, you know what? You know what? I would love to have sex with you, Genesis, but you want to know what? Fuck you. I'm not going to do it because my body hair should be good enough for you.
My body hair makes me look darker than I really am. It casts a shadow. I'm actually pretty damn pasty. I found out I have a vitamin D deficiency this week.
And your hair never let you...
But then my body hair makes it look like I'm actually darker.
It's kept you healthy.
Like, oh, are you tan? And no, just hirsute.
Yes.
Sam.
It's like got like a... It casts its own 5 o'clock shadow.
Sam, are you going to shave your body because now society's telling us we have to?
That's funny you mention that. Well, one of the radio stations I worked at, they actually gave me, free sessions that I had to advertise, like, on the air. Free sessions for laser hair removal stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So they...
Did you do it? Clearly it didn't work.
They did it at my back, and I think I needed, like, 4 more sessions before it would be all gone. But
so now it's just a patchwork of stubble and confused.
No, they do it in like lines. They do it in lines, so it looks almost like I have like tiger skin or something. It's like striped little bits of it.
Geez, so like worse than a laser removal is half a laser removal.
Yeah. Well, no, it takes 6 weeks or 6 different sessions of it
It's like an anti-tattoo.
Yeah.
Sean, we can't be shaving our chest hair.
No.
Who has time for this bullshit?
I haven't touched my chest hair, thank you.
No, it would take me hours upon hours, and I'm not even... Like, here's the thing. My brother's got it worse than me, my dad's got it worse than me, and I got it pretty bad.
And those are both happily married men.
Yeah, but also they're tall. They're over 6'3". I am 5'7", so there's like a height-weight hair proportion thing going on.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. But no, you know what? What am I going to do? So my flabby stomach will just be hair free?
It'll smooth.
Come on.
It'll look like a twink.
And here's, let me tell you this also.
Oh, God. It's not going to be smooth. It'll be like sand.
You know what's going to happen in 3 years? There's going to be some hairy sex symbol, and they're going to tell you to grow all the hair back. But you lasered it all off, and you're fucked.
Exactly. That's why I'm not even going to try shaving it. You know, Kate Upton, Hannah Simone, they don't want to fuck me. You know, they weren't going to fuck me anyway. They're trying, Gillette, you're trying to get in my head. You're trying to make me think I have a chance. But I don't anyway. I know this. And here's the other secret, by the way. If I'm in a position with a girl where my shirt ends up coming off, it's too late for her anyway. She's already...
It's like a Venus flytrap, man.
mean,
the hair goes and just consumes her.
Right, but I mean, at that point, she's already probably committed to having sex with me.
Or at the very least, giving you a handy.
Yeah, something's going to happen. There's a friend, I'm not going to say his name, but he was in a situation where...
The situation was there?
The situation was there. I guess does shit.
He was in the situation?
He was in the situation. And no, he was with this girl, and he took off his shirt, and she commented on his chest hair, like in disgust, like, why do you have so much chest hair? And he kind of got embarrassed, and nothing ended up happening with him, that girl last night. You want to know what he should have said? He should have looked right at her, and he should have said, because I'm a fucking man, and then he should have taken her.
With a club
the
to
views
the head,
and opinions
drag
of Will,
her off by the hair.
The views and opinions of Will Link do not reflect the views and opinions of the Will Shaw podcast.
Not rape her, but like in a sexy, like, because I'm a... Like, she was already going to fuck him, probably. She was like, he was taking a shirt off.
Like the way Nick on New Girl kissed
Jess. Yes, like the way Nick on New Girl kissed Jess, like a fucking man. And he's got to have chest hair, doesn't he? Look at him. He's a hairy-looking guy.
I don't know.
I had enough of this. And women are going to come, and they're going to say, well, we got to shave our legs. We got to shave our like, armpits and stuff.
Yeah, well, did you ever ask women to do this? Did you ever officially request that a woman, desanitize themselves?
I am appreciative of the hair leg thing being done, but shaving her legs. I'm appreciative of that. But to be fair, I've never actually said, you better shave those legs.
My girlfriend actually has the luckiest legs on earth. She can go 3 months without shaving them, and you couldn't tell that there was any hair on them.
Really?
Yeah. I'll randomly go
vitamin
say,
D deficiency.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe I'll go once in a while. I'll just tell her, hey, you know, you need. I can dreadlock that fucker. You need to do something about that. But no, everything below the knee. Like, everything above the knee, no hair grows. Anything below the knee, she only needs to shave once every 3 months.
I mean, most women don't do this because we've already gotten to this point in society. I mean, women show their legs off more. See, that's the thing. We're wearing pants all the time. They wear skirts and stuff. So that's why we've already gotten to a place in society where, for better or worse, for the same reason I shave my... See, but they don't have to shave their face. I gotta shave my face. Women don't have to shave their face. So...
Doesn't seem to bother Sam.
Yeah, dude. No, I have to show up at, whenever I have clients and stuff, I'll shave that day. But I haven't had a client in a... About since Friday. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a lazy guy, man. I hate shaving.
I always said if I didn't have to be somewhat professional, I would grow just a big fuck you Zach Galifianakis beard.
Yeah,
I hate
good.
Shaving.
Dude, you guys remember me when I didn't have any responsibilities.
Yeah. We remember.
You saw how long my goatee was. I had a giant D-Loke style, like, people were braiding my goatee.
They shave their legs, I shave my face. That's the deal.
Now, what about your junk?
I do some trimming there. I admittedly do some trimming there.
Manscaping?
I mean, I'm not like, yeah, I do
more
some,
like
I guess that's
whacking.
What you would call it.
Yeah.
I do some trimming there.
Because
that's, you know, that's better for them. I don't want them getting a lot of hair in their face.
You
well,
the
do you like,
a cat.
Do you like girls that don't shave?
It doesn't, but I've been with girls who don't really shave, and then I want some hair there. I want a little bit of hair there. I don't want.
Oh, you don't
want to
feel like you're with a 12-year-old girl.
Exactly. I want some hair there, and I've been with some girls who've had quite a bit of hair, and just a little bit of hair. And you want to know what? I was fine with both.
Yeah.
I didn't bother. I was just happy to see a vagina. Let's face it. And you know what? As far as the other place you got to shave, ladies, your pits. I never told you had to do that. I mean, I don't know. I've never been with a girl with hairy armpits, but I don't think it would be a total deal breaker.
So, ladies of the Will Shawn podcast, you know what to do.
Braid the pits.
I want a girl with braided armpit hair.
I think that's what the Dothraki do.
Probably. The Throcky women do it, and Ani DeFranco. I always like to end with something a little weird here, Sam, and this one struck me as an interesting story. A man in Utah found a McDonald's hamburger in his coat pocket in a coat he hadn't worn since 1999. This hamburger was 14 years old, and it looked like it was made that day. So my question to you is, did you eat that burger?
I get not that specific burger, but it sounds like it lives forever. Maybe if I eat a fresh one, it'll make me live forever.
If you eat a McDonald's burger a day, it's immortality.
Yeah,
it's...
The preservatives will just leak into your system.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what kept the pharaohs alive so long. A lot of Mickey D's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sean, I know you wouldn't eat that burger, but
well, you know what? The
say?
Truth is, nothing's going to happen to you. Any bacteria or anything would have already manifested itself. I'd imagine it'd be fairly inert at that point.
I would think
so,
too.
You may get the skitters, but who knows?
I have a friend, Sean Corkery. He's a loyal listener of the podcast, and he would eat, like, anything.
Yeah,
and
how'd that work out for him?
Yeah, well, he didn't do too well with that. But,
hey, Sean.
But we used to say that we had an idea. We were going to do this, and we never did. We were going to buy a hamburger, and we were going to put it in a box and mail it to his house.
Oh.
In the hopes to see if when he got the package, if he would just eat the burger.
But a McDonald's burger or just like a Bob's Big Boy or something?
Like, we hadn't decided what burger. The point is we were going to mail him a burger. Probably it'd be some fast food burger. And we were 99% sure when that box came and he started dressed to him and be like, a hamburger. And he would just eat it at that moment. And, you know.
It's not too late.
It's not too late. That could kill him, though.
You know they don't have In-N-Out on the East Coast.
Send him
has he ever had it in and out?
He has, but I could send him one cross country. Yeah. Maybe he'll be happy about that.
Can we send it via like Pony Express or something? Just really long by train.
No, let me ask you, this,
coach.
Sam. Would you you get a package in the mail and you open it and it's a delicious looking hamburger? Do you eat it?
I look where the return address is. If it's within 5 miles, then I might consider it.
It's in the city limits.
Yeah, if it's something that came...
Well, it's within 5 miles, but the postmark is from 1962.
If it hasn't grown legs and walked off on its own?
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I'd give it to Polita. Polita has a third world stomach, man. She can eat anything.
Polita is his girlfriend, he mentioned before,
yeah,
with the leg hair.
That'll put some hair on her.
Boy, if anything would.
Imagine the... I don't know, maybe the
only time she ever gets any hair on her is whenever I'm on top.
And on that note...
Sam, thank you so much for coming on and
pinch hitting. Yeah.
Thank
you.
We really appreciate it. To use another sports analogy. But once again, tell everybody where they can listen to you as a sex doctor.
Yeah, I know. Be afraid, everybody. It's Radio Sex 103 on Sirius XM. If you have Sirius XM in your car or at home or the app on your phone, you can listen to the show. It's Radio Sex 103, Wednesday nights, 9 to 11. It's Erotic City Radio. I'm Dr. Sam, and the other lady on there, who's really hot, by the way, is Miss Sapphire. I should introduce you to her.
I think you should. Is there a podcast, or can they download it if they're busy, like, working?
They actually replay the show several times throughout the week.
Okay.
And in case you missed it, you can go, they have the show on demand. So if you have a subscription to SiriusXM, you can go to the Radio Sex channel, look up Erotic City Radio, and they'll have all of our episodes on
and
there.
We'll post the link to the website, which I'm sure has information about finding all of this stuff. And I should come down to the studio. I want to meet this woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She actually might be going to Porn Star Karaoke tonight.
Oh, that interferes with my plans of
staying home and masturbating.
Staying home and masturbating to New Girl.
Watching Glee.
Now, Glee's that's Thursday. And Sam, and they follow you on Twitter personally?
Yes. Hit me up on Twitter at SamZ570. At SamZ570. 570.
Excellent. Sean.
Yes?
Plug your stuff.
My stuff. Well, you can follow me on Twitter, at TheSeanDavid. You can also like me on Facebook, Sean David. And buy my book on Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, Triumvirs. Do all that fun stuff and send me a message. let me know that you've done those things.
Ah, yeah. Just send him a message to say hello.
Yeah.
After
you're done liking everything.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. This week's episode of that, we had the before-mentioned Carol Burnett on. So, yes, she is making the rounds. Maybe you can get her on Erotic City Radio.
Oh, dear.
You can also listen to me, read reviews of mine at u1can.com, can like the city in France. And I'm going to be doing an upcoming reading May 23rd at Tattletales. It's a essay show at Shetty's Public Parlor here in Los Angeles. It's right on Fairfax. That's May 23rd. It's a free show. So come on down. Bring the kids. Wait, don't bring the kids. I talk about S&M in this essay, and they shouldn't hear that. But maybe it's something the Erotic City Radio listeners
you should
enjoy.
Call in, man. You should give us some of your stories. I'm sure everybody would love
maybe
to hear
it. Maybe I should.
That's good. Maybe you could do, like, Will tells a story of sexual failure.
I have many
like
stories.
Like, once a month, just get them on, like, a segment. It only takes 10 to 15 minutes. I'm coming and...
Yeah.
I wrote a new essay, too, this week that I hope to perform in the next couple months, which is about a one-night stand I had with a girl who tried to urinate in my sink.
Well, at least she was aiming for something that had plumbing.
Yeah.
And for the Will Sean podcast.
Wait, no.
Oh, right. We have
next week on the show, we have terrific actress Tara Price. She's got a new film that's in the L.A. Comedy Film Festival. It's a zombie comedy called Zombie Island. It's very funny. You're going to want to check it out, and she's going to be on here to tell us all about it, tell us all about the film festival she's involved with, and it's going to be great.
Are you sure you pronounced her last name correctly?
Price, I think this one I got.
It's Price.
Oh, maybe. I'm notorious for screwing up names, but Tara Price. And the week after that, it's our summer movie preview. Wait a second, the summer movie season starts with Iron Man 3. Shouldn't you have already done your summer movie preview episode? Well, no. And there's a perfectly good reason why we haven't, and it's not because of some obscure Jewish holiday.
Oh, that's part of it.
That causes us not to record that week. No. You'll have to listen to the episode in 2 weeks to find out why we delayed it. But we're going to go through all the films, including maybe we'll give a little Iron Man 3 review and stuff like that.
And we got a good summer coming up. We're booking guests. We got musicians, comedians, actors, jugglers, knife eaters, everything.
A lot of knife eaters.
A lot of, yeah.
So
many knives.
Sam, once again, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
And for the Will Sean podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.